Blog Talk Radio.
That you decided to tune in on this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Monday night. One we've never seen and one we'll never see again. And praise God, the time is ticking. Can you believe it's almost Christmas? It's almost 2022. Can you believe that? Praise God. Well, I'm grateful, grateful, grateful that you decided to tune in on this Monday. And we're praying that you'll come back next Monday and the next and the next and the next. Praise God. So if this is your very, very first time tuning in, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Our role and job here is to make sure that we encourage, that we educate, and that we empower. The information may not be brand new, but praise God, we're hoping that it is encouraging, that it will cause you to study and find out what it is that God really wants you to grasp from this particular topic, and then not only be encouraged by it, but be empowered to make the necessary changes and then to share it with someone else. That is the key on how we disciple and how we grow and how we develop one another, because we have to empower one another. And so that is the goal on tonight and every Monday night that you tune in. For those of you that have been with me, praise God, can you believe we're going into our ninth year? We have completed 8 years in this vein, and I'm very, very, very grateful that God has blessed me to be able to be here, but more importantly, that you are here with me. It'd be kind of hard, maybe, but I probably would do it by myself. But praise God, you have been here with me. And so I'm grateful because you keep me encouraged. You keep me focused. You keep me empowered to do what God called me to do, and that is to study to show his word approved and rightly divide the word, and then to be able to share it with those that he puts in my path. And so praise God, you have kept me accountable to that. And so I will always give you a shout out. Now, the biggest shout out goes to the Omega Ministry Group, which is Jesse and Tammy Store, and all the body of believers that they have recruited and trained and developed, and so many wonderful aspects of the things of God. And so I will always, always, always call their names out and the ministry, because praise God, they thought enough of me to support me and to put me in this vein. And so I'm grateful that they have been complete examples the whole 9 years that I, well, it's been more than 9 years I've been in their company. But praise God, for this particular venture, I am grateful that they have been committed and true examples for me. And so I will always, always give them a major, major shout out. Now, the biggest and the greatest shout out we have to give, and that is to God. And so we always give acknowledge to those that are listening in. First, I forgot. I had to play my song because it gets me motivated to do what I need to do. And then I thank each of you for tuning in. And then, praise God, we go to God in prayer before we start our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to wake up each morning to be able to have a new opportunity to love and to cherish those that you have placed in our company. We thank you, Father, that you've given us so many resources to make this life livable. And even in the midst of challenges, Father, we still can find some good because you love us enough to make sure that your grace and your mercy follows us each day that we walk on this earth. And so, Father, we don't want to take it lightly. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for being our shepherd and not letting us have many wants, Father. Definitely, you take care of our needs. And so we just thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, that it is possible that we can have our being in you because you provided the opportunity for us to have that. And so we thank you again for these resources, which is the word that gives us the focus that we need to make the I'll be accountable and teaches us what we need to do and how we need to do it and when we need to do it. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that picks up the slack in the areas where we may just forget, but it reminds us how true your word is and how you operate in truth. And then it gives us the nudge and the empowerment to do the things that you've called us to do. And so we're always, always, always grateful for the Holy Spirit. And more importantly, Father, we are grateful. Father, there are no words to say how much we are grateful for the sacrifice that Jesus made, because without it, we'd be lost. We wouldn't have the opportunity that we have each day because of that grace and the blood that was shed and the sacrifice that was shed on our behalf, paid the penalties of our sins. And so we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you do to make this life livable and understandable, to do what we need to do, to pursue the things that you've called us to pursue and do the things that you've called us to do. Now, Father, I ask that you strengthen my voice, strengthen my mind and my heart to share what you have for me to say on tonight. Father, let it be all of you and none of me. And I just thank you, Father, for the opportunity. And I thank you for those that will be listening, whether it's tonight, next week, or 2 years, 10 years from now, Father. I thank you that it will be a rhema word that will cause change in all of our lives because we have been empowered to change. And so, Father, we love you. We acknowledge you that you're the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay true to you, Father, we can bear much fruit, because without you, we can do nothing. So we thank you. We love you. We honor you. We adore you. And thank you. There'll be no distractions for this hour, and it will move in power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm so excited about this particular topic tonight because I was watching TV last week and just kind of dismayed a little bit about the world and how things are going and those two major cases that were going on and how everything seems to end up with color and race and all the things that are going on. And it's unfortunate that we have to even talk about it and bring it up, but nevertheless, it is important. And so I was going through a neighborhood not long, and it was a predominantly, at least from my perspective, a predominantly white neighborhood, but they had signs in the yard that said Black Lives Matter. And I thought that it was ironic because sometimes we get so caught up believing that we're on this side and they're on this side, but we're all God's people. We're all God's people and all lives matter. And so in the vein of us talking about the evil one, I thought how cool it would be to kind of flip them words around. And so it was funny at first, but then I was enthralled by all the information that I found looking it up. And so if I had to choose a topic for today, the topic for today is Black Lives, not lies, lies, Black Lives, White Lies, All Lives Matter. And so I thought it was funny because I didn't think that I would find much information. I know what God says about lying, but I was amazed at how much information on lies there is on our cool little computer that we keep in our pocket. And that would be Google and all the other cool websites that I researched this week trying to come up with a plan that God would have me to share. And one of the things that I think I have to kind of go back before I get started in the lies is why it's so important that we study the adversary. We study the adversary for one main reason, in my opinion, and that is to make sure that we understand how cunning he is to try to steal us from the purpose and the plan that God has. We know that God has a purpose and a plan for all of us because it's stated in Jeremiah 29:11 that we all have a plan and a purpose, and that plan is for us to prosper. But the evil one doesn't want us to prosper, and so the only way that he can make sure that we don't prosper is by causing footholds, strongholds, creating this facade of whatever, mainly out of the root of deception, to prevent us from reaching the things that God has for us. And that's why in my prayer, and most time when I pray corporately or openly, I always acknowledge the Word, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the sacrifice that he made, because it is significant that we understand that we have resources that gives us what we need to know that Satan is under our feet. But if we don't study those resources that God plainly gives, I explained it many years ago when God blessed me to think of this life is like mine and how the enemy has set all these mines out for us to step on, for us to be destroyed. Because as my mentor once said, that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so his main job in that is to shut us up and to shut us down. And the only way that he can do that is by putting these minds before us. And if we don't acknowledge the Word, if we don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit and the sacrifice that Jesus made, which gives us the protection that we need, we will step on these minds and then we'll be destroyed. And so the only way that we can understand is to have a plan. And I don't know those of you that have watched King Richard, the Serena and Venus, their father's story, on HBO Max, understand you have to have a plan. And that's the thing that I loved about the story. A little far-fetched in many areas, in my opinion, but it was necessary because he believed in the plan, and he believed the plan that God gave him, and he worked it out to his plan. God has given us a plan, and if we follow the plan that God has for us, then praise God, we can sideswipe the minds that he has for us to destroy us. So we have to understand why it's important for us to understand what a foothold is. And a foothold basically just gives Satan the establishment to infiltrate our thinking and our process to prevent us from the advancement of the things of God. And so once he gets a foothold, which he actually kind of creeps into that door and just puts his foot in the door, it can develop into a stronghold. And a stronghold basically is a faulty way of thinking based on lies and deception, because deception is his primary tool. And so if you don't understand the foothold, and it becomes a stronghold, and I call a strong man where he actually is just overpowering, that's where we get to the point where when the Bible says sometimes prayer and fasting is required to remove this type of attack, but it becomes spiritual warfare. And so when we talk about spiritual warfare, it is important that we understand this is how the enemy operates. He operates to attack us, and sometimes these attacks can be more difficult than others, but nevertheless, spiritual warfare is an act of fighting against Satan when he is trying to keep us from God's calling. And so, like I said before, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we are pursuing the things of God, it is his job to put it on a little higher, turn the knob up, so that we won't accomplish those things. But if we understand who he is and how he comes, praise God, it is easier for us to get around the fiery darts that he throws and the mines that he sets out before us. And so when we understand deception, which is very, very key, because when you're deceived, you don't know that you're being deceived. And so deception is basically the act of making someone believe something that's not true, the act of you being so overwhelmed in your own thought process that you're not taking the time to understand that the enemy has convinced you to believe a way is right when it is absolutely wrong. And that's why, again, having the word and knowing the word is so important, because when we lean to our own understanding, praise God, that's how we fall into the traps of the enemy. That's why it's so important that we memorize Romans 12:1-2, because it is important that we understand that we have to renew our mind. And the Bible in this particular passage, it says, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable spiritual service, and then to transform your thinking. You have to renew your thinking. If you don't renew your thinking, praise God, then you will think the thoughts that you think, and our ways are not God's ways. And so when you renew your mind, you prove the will of God that is good and acceptable and perfect. So my challenge to each of you tonight is to really take heed to what I'm about to share, praise God, because I was overwhelmed how much lying we necessarily do. But the coolest thing about it is some of us have developed that skill so much that we don't understand that we do it and as often as we do it, but I'm going to explain that in a minute. But I want to get this scripture in your spirit too. 1 John 4:4 that says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them. So what is overcoming and what is them? Them is all the things that the enemy thinks or tries to make you believe you can't overcome. So if once I explain all these lies, praise God, and you feel that you are under some of these characteristics, 1 John 4:4 says that you've overcome them. Why? Because the one that lives in you is greater than the one who lives in the world. So, of course, I was trying to say that the way, remember, but I was trying to read it too. So different versions, you know, he that is in the world, God is in you. So if you've given your life to Christ, if you've done the things that are necessary to make sure that you know that you know that you know, then praise God, you don't have to worry about overcoming certain things, because God says that you've already overcome them, because the one that lives and resides in you. That's why, again, I acknowledge the word, I acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and I acknowledge Jesus in every opportunity that I have, because it's necessary. Those are the three keys for our success in this warfare. Amen. We talked about last week, there are two different types of attacks, how the enemy comes to us, is physical and mental. And we just talked about how to protect yourself mentally. And you protect yourself mentally, praise God, by his word. Then, praise God, it's easier for you to overcome the other things, praise God, that he throws at us. So tonight, I want to stress one particular thing that Satan is the father of. One of the things that I, when I was studying for spiritual attacks, it said that Satan uses lies and condemnation as a weapon. And so since we know that he uses that as a weapon and that he lies, you have to understand why lies are important. They're not important for us to share, of course, but they're important for us to know what they are. And so what is a lie? A lie is a statement that is assumed to be false, commonly used with the purpose of deceiving someone. The practice of conveying lies is called lying. And so pretty much why do we do it? We do it for many reasons. According to this article that I read, it said that sometimes people lie because they have low self-esteem. Well, I know quite a few people that have high self-esteem and lie. But nevertheless, most times people lie because we want to impress, we want to please, or we want to make somebody think that we're more than what we are. And oftentimes we lie to ourselves for that same reason. And then sometimes we do it just to make things, or we seem to think that it will make things better. And so, like I said, when I was doing the study of lies, I was surprised at how much information that came up. And they said that there are four colors of lies. And I thought, oh, four colors. And I knew about the white lies because, you know, we often talked about that. But I thought black lies, white lies. And so, like I said, the funny part of me looking up this topic was I was like, is there such thing as a black lie? Because I personally had never heard of a black lie. Well, here to find out that there's a lot of other colors, but there are four main color lies. So they listed white lies, gray lies, red lies, and black lies. And so white lies, what many of us are familiar with, white lies are usually fairly innocent, and they are considerably justifiable by many. This is the kind of lie that is kind of harmless. It's a small falsehood. So, you know, it's almost like, and I don't know why I went back to this song, but remember Sugar Hill Gang and the last part, because I know the whole song, mind you. But the last part, he says, when you go to your friends to eat and the food just ain't no good, the macaroni soggy and the cheese almost and the chicken tastes like wood, but you try to play it off so you think you can by saying that you're full, that was a real white lie. He was not telling the truth that he didn't like the food. He was basically just saying that he was full. So that's kind of an example. And I probably shouldn't have sung that song, but nevertheless, you get what I'm saying. So that's a little white lie when you just, you know, kind of blow it off, but it's not really a big thing. And then a gray lie, this kind of lie is common to us as well. I had never heard of a gray lie before, but they are genuinely based on self things that you do for yourself. So they're partially true, partially a lie, but it's basically done just to help yourself. And so that would be an example. I like the example that they gave. It's like when you're a cop pulls you over and you know you've been speeding and you're like, I didn't understand. Was my speedometer off? When you know you see, well, praise God, you're just trying to save yourself to get yourself out of something. And then there's the red lie. The red lie is specifically made for a liar's sake. And so I guess that's one that the people that typically lie all the time. And so this lie is driven by the intention to harm others, even when it produces harm to expense itself. And so an example of that would be you to know who shattered something, and you know you're the one that broke it. And I think we do, well, I shouldn't say we. I know I did as a little kid all the time. I don't know who broke it. I don't know who ate this. I don't know. And you know you did it. But nevertheless, black lies, which is interesting to me, black lies are sometimes considered the worst kind of lying. Why would it be called black? But nevertheless, it's the worst kind of lying because it's defined as a callous, and done out of malice. And so it's a deliberate misrepresentation of facts in order to deceive. And so the example that they gave from that is by telling people that they look elegant, and then you know that it's awful, but you do it just because it makes you feel more comfortable that you made them uncomfortable. And so nevertheless, I thought it was odd that all these lies had colors. And then there was one that wasn't outlined in this particular passage that I, article that I read. But another one said that a yellow lie is a big thing too, because it is the better of the lie, because this lie you use to save someone. And so if I saw a movie last night, and she begged a man to come out of the water because there was a crocodile in the water. And he said, no, I'm good, I'm good. And she said, because she knew that he liked her. And she said, I'll go out with you if you get out of the water. She had no intention to go out with him, but she lied to try to save him. So that was be considered a yellow lie. Now, one of the things that I thought about when I was actually studying to how do I break this down and explain, you know, lies and why sometimes they're necessary and sometimes they're not according to the system, it broke it down into interrogation and interviews. And so there's different types of lies. Now, I just gave the colors of lies, and now these are the types of lies. There's lies of denial. There's lies of omission, lies of fabrication, lies of minimization, lies of exaggeration, or some of us know that, praise God. But these lies, I learned years ago when I used to be a manager over loss prevention at a department store. And so we would know, you know, all the things that we had to study to be able to tell when people were lying, when we didn't necessarily see them on the screen steal something, but we would know based on their characteristics and some of the jargon that they would say or the words that they would say, how we could tell whether they were lying or whether they were telling the truth. Most times, of course, they were lying because we caught them for stealing. But nevertheless, the lies of denial, this type of lie involves when you are untruthful, saying that you were not involved when you know you were involved. Lines of omission refers to lying of choice, blaming someone else for not taking the responsibility of something. And some of these kind of overlap because you can tell that some of these lies could be black lies or red lies or whatever. But nevertheless, it's amazing to me that we've even gone as far as to describe these lies. But nevertheless, lies of fabrication is most difficult, they claim, to detect because you use facts that are actually facts, and then you make up lies, and then, praise God, you tell them so much, sometimes it can be hard for you to remember because you're using part of the truth with your lie, and so you kind of get caught up and you kind of forget. But then there's lies of minimization, and so it's like, you tell the truth, but you kind of minimize it. So I have to call my daughter out on this. She does this often. I have to check her now that I understand that there's a word for it. But did you tear that? Well, it was torn already. Getting out of the fact that she knew that she tore it more, but saying it was damaged, or, you know, something was wrong with it already. Amen. And then the lies of exaggeration. Now, praise God, I used to go down this road quite a bit because I like explaining and telling stories a little bit more than what they are. Amen. And so I had to recognize when God convicted me. But yeah, that's lying. And so I was like, but, you know, it makes them feel good. You know, that, you know, all the, you know, again, that was, goes back to one of those other lies that you describe, how you're telling part of the truth, but you're exaggerating more to make the person feel good. Nevertheless, why do we do that? But at any rate, we do it. And so then they said that, you know, praise God, once you tell so many lies, you become a liar. And then there's different types of liars. There's psychopathical liars, there's pathological liars, there's compulsive liars, occasional liars, careless liars, narcissistic liars, habitual liars, pathetic liars, and of course the white liars. And so of course many of us probably don't tell many lies, and so some of the lies that we often tell, which I thought was cool that they had a list, I didn't call you back because my phone died, or of course I remember you, or that was my idea, oh yeah, that makes sense, or I'm just 5 minutes away. Girl, I'm late because traffic was horrible. I can have it done by tomorrow. You look good in that dress. these are just little lies that we think are kind of harmless. And so many times we think we get away with these things. Now, one of the things that I thought was also kind of cool is that one of the articles I read said that you can tell the signs of when people are lying. You can tell because many people will touch their face or touch their mouth or they'll have subconscious body language. There was actually a TV program, and I watched not long ago during COVID, and I was catching up on series, and that was one of the series. It was Lies. I think the title, I can't remember what it was right now, but the show was based on lying and how this doctor was skilled at telling when people lie. And they did all the precursors to showing you, you know, when they move, shake their legs or turn their heads a certain way, look certain ways. And it was just amazing how there has been pretty much a degree that you can achieve for determining whether somebody's lying and the reasoning why they lie and how they do it, what they do when they do it. Now, so the thing that I think that behooves me the most was is that how much we have gotten away with lying and why we kind of use it to our defenses, like I said and described in some of these different colors, whatever. As far as I'm concerned, the colors don't matter. The titles don't matter. It's just we do it. And so the things that we do, we have to remind ourselves. And I know that I, like I said, had been one to love to exaggerate. And then, of course, you know, I was a salesperson, as I said last week. And so I could do it and do it well. And then, you know, you find people that can lie pretty well and can lie without showing any of the signs. And so they're believable. But the thing that I think that kind of caused me to really pay attention to lying for me was that when God convicted me, and it was just because you exaggerate doesn't mean that you're not lying. You're lying. And just because you're telling people that you love this product and you have never used it before, it's lying. And so God led me to this scripture, and I'm hoping that this scripture does something for you because it really did something for me. It's Proverbs 6:16-19. It says, there are six things the Lord hates. Seven are detestable to him: a haughty eye, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. And I'm going to say some of that again. There are six things the Lord hates. Now, that made me stop because I thought, you know, God is love. Why would the Lord hate anything? And then seven are detestable to him. So a haughty eye, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. That takes a minute to soak in. Why? One, because God hates them. And so although I'm doing my exaggerations, not a big deal, because I'm kind of telling the truth, but when I read that God hates them, that made me back up. That made me pause. And I had to ask myself, Lord, why am I lying anyway? Why is it easier for me to lie? And I thought about kids, little kids, how they come. Many of them can't even spell lie, but they know how to do it. They know how to hide. I remember, and I hope my uncle's listening, and tomorrow's his birthday, so this is in his honor, when he came to visit for the first time when we lived in Minnesota. And he was so excited, and we were so excited to see him, he took us to the store around the corner. And so I asked him, could I have these crayons? Now, I think I was six. I had to be six because we had just moved into our house. I asked him, could I have these box of crayons? And he said, no. And he said, put them back. So I thought I was going to be good with that and put them in my pocket. And so when we got ready to leave, he said, Leah, do you have those crayons? And immediately I said, no. And he said, let me see your hands. And so I had both my hands in my pocket. So I pulled out the hand that didn't have the crayons, of course, in my pocket. And he said, what's in the other hand? Now, I guess God knew to protect me so that I would get the taste of what it was like to be punished for lying, because I could have just easily dropped the crayons in my pocket and took my hand out, pulled my hand out with the crayons in my hand. And so he whooped me. And so I was so taken back, like, you've never done this before. Why are you spanking me? But I was disobedient. I deserved to be whooped. And so it convicted me to why that wasn't, you know, a good thing to do. And then hindsight, of course, all these years later, I always questioned myself, why didn't I just leave that box of crayons in my pocket? And it was because God didn't want me to be a liar, praise God. And then the second time that I tried to steal something and I got caught, I was trying to steal some candy. And the man said to me, he said, ma'am, well, he didn't call me no man because I was no man. I was probably in sixth grade, seventh grade. And he said, I'm going to call your dad and tell him that you're still. I was like, please don't call my dad. I promise to never steal like that again. And so, praise God, I was never a klepto because of that, because the fear was placed in me on stealing. But I had to understand what is that saying? If you lie, you'll steal. If you steal, you kill. Amen. That may not necessarily be true for everybody, but most likely that's how we progress. If we think little lies are okay, they do develop into bigger lies. If you start stealing, if you just do little things, eventually they'll move to other things because you're doing this from a selfish motive. It's something that you want that you know you can't necessarily get on your own. And so you convince yourself, so you're lying to yourself. And so all of that is rooted in lies. And who is the father of lies? The enemy. So who was the first person in the Bible that we learned about that lied? Of course it was. It was the devil. He lied to make, and it marked, I like the way the article said, it marked mankind because it was the very beginning of his existence to lie. When he lied to Eve, he told the truth, but he distorted the truth. And most times, good liars know how to take the truth and distort it just a little to make it seem believable when it's actually a lie. And so now, if that describes you in any area, then you really need to assess what God says in Proverbs 6:16, that God detests, he hates. And I wouldn't want to be on any spectrum where God's hating anything. Praise God, he doesn't like sin at all anyway. But we have to be mindful, why is lying so important? It's important because, one, God hates it. And so when we talk about those things that God hates, we have to be mindful. And why do we have to be mindful? We have to be mindful because they're rooted in the things of the enemy. And so when we talk about what things God hates, when we talk about a haughty eye, what is a haughty eye? A haughty eye is just basically being proud. God hates pride. And so when we pride ourselves or believe that we deserve things that God hasn't necessarily placed in our life, and we feel that we have to do to get whatever it is, we're sinning against God, and we're not doing things that are according to the things of God. I like that David said in Psalms 131:1, that it is the heart that is not proud. My eyes are not hearty. I do not concern myself with matters that are too great or too awesome for me to grasp. And so sometimes we, because of the system we live in, it makes us believe that we're more important than anything, that we can take control of our lives and we just do these and this. And we have to be mindful. We have to allow God to be God. And so when we don't consult God in all things that we do, then praise God, we're setting ourselves up to believe that we are the rulers of our lives. And so when we get to a point where we feel like we can do whatever we want to do, this is where the lying tongue comes in, because we're being dishonest. And when we're dishonest, praise God, then we are putting ourselves, basically we're putting ourselves before God, because he wants us to tell the truth, because God is truth. And so if we put ourselves above him, then praise God, we have to remember that the father of lies is pretty much promoting pride, deceit, and violence. And so if those are the three things that God hates, then praise God, we need to ask ourselves right before we get ready to lie, ask yourself, why am I lying? Why do I feel the need to lie? What is this benefit? And sometimes we forget that even though we may have gotten away with lying, who did we not get away from? God. And that's the thing that interests me all the time, especially when we talk about our kids, because it's like, I promise to do better, or they lie and they think they've gotten away with it, they still got to pay the consequences. So how do we think that because we lied and got away with it with somebody else, that God is not listening and we're going to have to give an account for it? And so when we don't take it to heart that this is what God hates lies, amen, then we'll be more quick to lie. We won't allow ourselves to have our own meter that stops us. Like I listened to a message from Andy Stanley, and he talked about guardrails and how guardrails are on the highway to prevent us from danger. They're not necessarily meant to keep us from going over the cliff, but they're reminders that if you go over this line, there's something dangerous on the other side. And so we have to create our own guardrails where we know that if we're prone to lying or we're prone to do things, exaggerate or do things to make others feel better about themselves, we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing these things? Why do we think that God is not going to hold us accountable for these things, especially when he says that he hates them? And so when you come to that book where you decide, you have to ask yourself, what are you doing? Are you trying to justify or validate your dishonesty? I think sometimes when we tell these little lies that we don't realize that we're given an account, but nevertheless, what are we trying to justify? What are we trying to validate? And so when I am placed in a situation, because sometimes, and unfortunately, it seems easier to lie because I don't have to explain or I don't have to hurt someone's feelings. And so how can I say things without lying? Well, you have to practice, because I know I'm a person, I don't like hurting people's feelings because I'm not that happy. I don't want to hurt people's feelings. So I have to learn, because I didn't want to do any more exaggerating. I didn't want to lie because I knew that I had to give an account to God. And plus, I remember Romans 12, 1 and 2, where I have to present myself acceptable to God and that I have to renew my mind. So how do I get out of not hurting people, but telling the truth? And so you learn how to, or you got to practice saying things, especially when you've developed a pattern of lying. You want to make sure that, because people are used to hearing you say certain things or you doing certain things a certain way, and when you make a decision that you're not going to lie anymore, that you're not going to do things that are contrary to what God loves, that you have to find a way to tell the truth without it being hurtful, if you will. So instead of me now, when my daughters, and sometimes they think that I could be a little overboard, but amen, I can't lie because I got to give an account to God, not to you. And so when they say certain things to me, I'll say something positive after. And so my girlfriend is probably listening, where the sandwich came from. So you say something nice, you say what you need to say, that's the filling, and then you put something nice on the end, and so you sandwich it. And so, baby girl, you know I love you, and you know that I want the best for you, but I don't like your hair like that. But you're cute. See the sandwich? Versus, girl, do that thing. You got it. Go on, girl. And then, praise God, why did I do that? Why was there a need to validate something that's not right when it didn't look right? Why would I do that? Or better yet, my youngest one, Lord have mercy, I could really write a book on her because she's learned how to get around certain things. And so I told her, I said, you cannot have electronics in the bathroom when you go to the bathroom. You know, the bathroom is for the bathroom, and you come out, no phones. And so I said, no phones. And so she says, Mommy, you said no phones. And I said, but you have your DVD player in there. And she said, you said no phones. Now, she knew what I was saying, but praise God, so I had to be clear. No DVDs, no phones. So what did she do? She put her earplug in her ear, and so she had it playing in her room, but she could hear it from her earbud in her ear. So you see, I gotta help her understand that's justification and trying to validate this honesty. We can't do that. We have to figure out a way so that we can be right, because she may think she was getting away with me, and so I had to sit her down and explain. You may think that you get away with me, you know, with the exaggerations and the justification that you're trying to do, but you're going to have to give an account to God. And when you give an account to God, sometimes that hurts way worse than what I could do to you. So you be remindful of that. And so that's what we have to remember, even as adults, that just because we may have gotten away with lying at our job while we were late, or while we, you know, didn't do something or didn't turn something in what we were supposed to turn in, we may have been justified, quote unquote, for saying a lie. But we got to give an account for that. And there's no justification. Just tell the truth, you know, whatever the situation is. Now, I kind of stretched a little bit because, like I said, I fall victim to my exaggeration. But I had a bill that I really was not well, but I didn't have the situation that I had. And so I walked with my walker and explained, you know, that I can't pay this bill. And so was I being dishonest? I mean, granted, I am using my walker, but did I necessarily need my walker? Because in my heart, God knew that I used it so that they feel sorry for me, so that they would let me not pay the bill. But praise God, all of that, God, we have to give an account for that. And so we have to be mindful. If we start to tell the truth, then God will bless us. The more we lie, the more we try to justify or validate why we do things dishonestly, amen, that's part of the deception. That's part of the stronghold, the foothold, the stronghold. And then now we're so overwhelmed that we're in a deceptive state and don't even realize that we're there. And so my responsibility to each of you is to assess yourself. And that's why it's so important for us to put that armor on. And that's why Ephesians 6 is so important, that we have to understand that we're not wrestling against the physical system. It's that spiritual stuff that we don't even recognize that we do, that we don't even recognize that we're doing. And when we don't know the word, then we do things that are contrary to the things of God. And then he says people perish for a lack of knowledge. It's not because, praise God, he's giving people passes because you don't know. No, you have every tool that you have before you. You have your word. And those of you that don't have a word or don't have a Bible, you have a phone. You can look it up. Those of you that don't have a phone, I don't know how you're listening to me, but you may have a computer, whatever tools you need, you can find a way to get to the word, to learn what God requires, what God likes, what God dislikes, and so that we can be held accountable and we can be the soldiers God called us and requires us to be. Now, the armor is going to be your best bet to make sure that you put it on and that you keep it on, so that when the enemy throws those little fiery darts at you and gives you an opportunity, when you're placed before, do I lie or do I tell the truth and fall on the sword? Because I guarantee you, and I tell my children this often, I said, the worst thing you can do is lie to me. I don't do that. I don't like whooping my children either. And I know that, praise God, I have to pay for that too. But the worst thing my children can do to me is lie to me, because if I have to rescue you and I have to feed you and do all these things, that's the only thing. I mean, don't clean up the room. We can work that out. Don't wash your clothes. We can work that out. But would you lie to me when you don't have to? That bothers me. It bothers me. And I guess that's why it bothers God, because there's no reason for us to be lying, especially to the people that we love. Because even if you say things that may cause them to hurt, like I learned how to sandwich, or better yet, you know, explain yourself. You know, you hurt my feelings. So no, we don't do that. Where is the validation in that? No, ma'am, we're not doing that. Did I tell you, did you do what I asked you to do? Yes, and then I find out that you did. The trust. And so we want to be trust with the much, and we can't operate with the little. Lying is so beneath us when you really think about it. Why can't we tell the truth? We should be able to tell the truth. We watched this week, those of us that watched, the trial and how people can distort the truth. Again, just master of lies, and however you want to label it, whether it's black, whether it's white, whether it's red, whether it's gray, whether it's a sociopathical liar, whether it's a narcissistic liar, well, it's lies. And lies do not prosper in the sight of God. Now, many people in our system get away with lying. But trust, they're only getting away in that system. They still have to give an account to a higher calling. And so it's interesting, like I said before, I love biographies. Because many times we see just the highlight stuff that, you know, they flash on TV. A perfect example, Britney Spears. You know, we just think, you know, she's got it going on. And little did we know all the turmoil this child has been going through behind the scenes. But a lot of that, praise God, could have been to her own doing, all the stuff that she was doing, and she just sowed the wrong seeds, and that was her harvest. But nevertheless, when we see the little brother that just got off, I can't think of his name, from Wisconsin, some of us may be, you know, kind of moved. He lied. You know, he got away with lies. Trust me, he is not going to get away with that, because God is going to hold him accountable to a higher standard. That court of law was what they call it, the high court. Amen. That is not hardly the high court that he's going to have to give an account for, him and his attorneys. And so we have to be mindful that when we do things, God looks high and he looks low. And so we may get away with the people that are in front of us, but you can't get around God. And so that's why I said it's so important that we understand that we have to understand God's word, especially when it comes to the armor of God, and put it on. So that when you have the mind of Christ, you'll know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Because again, as verse 12 in armor 6, in Ephesians 6, we don't struggle against flesh and blood. We struggle against rulers, against authorities, against powers of the dark world, against spiritual forces of evil. And so when we don't put on the armor of God, we won't be able to stand ground. We have to be able to stand and to stand firm. And the only way that we can do that is by putting on the belt of truth. Now, the first time I read this passage of scripture, I was confused. Why is the belt first? You don't put your belt on first, and you don't put the breastplate on next. You would think you would start from the head and go down. But the more I understand about God, he is intentional, and he needed us to understand truth is first. You put on truth first. And when you have your truth buckled around your waist, it keeps you together. And that's the whole point of a belt. It keeps things in place. And so if you can keep your mouth in place and tell the things of God that are truth, your truth will set you free. I love the word because it confirms itself. If you know the truth, amen. There's so many scriptures. So look it up. Study to show yourself approved. Ask yourself, am I justifying or validating when I'm lying? And what am I justifying and what am I validating? And if you can't come up with a good question, answer, which you probably won't because God hates it, tell the truth. Black lies, white lies, green lies, purple lies, yellow lies, they all matter because they are things that God hates. We need to tell the truth. And again, put the breastplate on, not the breastplate, but the belt and the breastplate, and make sure that you stand in peace and have your shield and your sword. I promise you, you'll be able to extinguish the fiery darts that the enemy throws, so you don't have to lie. And if it hurts, then explain. I don't mean this to hurt you. And I love my favorite, Mimi Leakes, bless her heart. She said, I said what I said. I didn't mean to hurt you. That was not my intent, but I said what I said. And sometimes we laugh because that sounded harsh, but it was the truth. And so sometimes the truth does hurt, but you have to tell the truth. Tell the truth, shame the devil. You heard that? Amen. Tell the truth and give honor to God where honor is due. He wants us to tell the truth. He wants us to be ambassadors for him. And we have to be ambassadors of truth. Now, Praise God. I could keep talking and keep going, but I'm running out of time. Not out of talk, but I am out of time. And so last week I had an opportunity to open up the lines. And so tonight, if those of you that dialed in have a comment or question, I'll open the line again. All you have to do is press 1, and I'll see your number in the queue. Those of you that logged in, I don't have a way to have you live on the air. But you can text me if you want, and I can answer some of your questions. But those of you that press 1 in the queue, I'm going to say the first part of your area code and then the last 4 digits of your phone number. And when I share that, then your line will be live. And so I'll ask you to say your name and where you're calling from. So area code 914, and the last 4 numbers is 3713. That's area code 914-3714 as the last 4 numbers. Caller, you're live and on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Alice Smith, and I'm calling from White Plains, New York.
Hi, Alice. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Thank you for your message.
Amen. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm still struggling. Yeah.
Amen. We all are struggling, but we're struggling for the things in God. Amen.
That's for sure. Yep. Keep on going.
We got to keep going. Praise God. Thank you for tuning in. That's so awesome to hear your voice. But did you have anything?
No. That's continued prayer. Thank you.
Amen. We will continue to keep you in prayer. Absolutely. God bless you, and thank you for calling in.
All right. Bless all of you. Thank you.
Amen. That was my great aunt from White Plains, New York. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for letting her tune in and hearing her voice. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If anybody else wants to, you have a couple more seconds before we go. But before we leave, I want to make sure that I state the scriptures that I gave. I gave the scriptures from Ephesians 6. So read all of that, because I think it is an important passage of scripture, because it teaches all of us how we are to operate, from children to the fathers to people that we work for, everything. Praise God. And then it tells you about why you need to put on your armor. And then we talked about Proverbs 16. And so we want to make sure that we don't do any of these things. We don't want to be prideful. We don't want to lie. We don't want to shed innocent blood. We don't want to have a heart that does wicked schemes. And we don't want to do anything quick to rush the evil. My uncle used to call that a busybody. Amen. And so I used to really try to make sure, Lord, I do not want to be a busybody. And then, of course, being a false witness and pours out lies on a person that stirs up conflict and community. And we know that many people do these, and they don't know why they're doing them. But praise God, we need to pray for them and pray for all of us that are in need and those of us that need healing, like my auntie and myself. But praise God. Like I said, I'm not out of talk, but I am out of time, and we have to go. And I want to make sure that I always, always play my granny's favorite song, because I dedicate my shows to my granny, because I know she's my number one fan. And so every praise belongs to God, and it really absolutely does. So tune in again next week where you'll hear another inspiring word. This is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. God bless you, and God keep you, and remember to always, always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day in prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. Every praise is to our God.
praise. It's too